Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone into the Fantasy Football Fools podcast. My name's Jesse, and you got Brandon here with me. No Aliceo today. How you doing, Brandon?
Good. I beat him in fantasy. He doesn't want to show up and face the music, so I don't know what happened.
Isn't that what happened last time, too, man?
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. So.
Some people never learn. All right, we got a good show for you. Man, I can't believe it's already going into week 11. Wow. It's crazy. We kind of know the teams that are making it and the teams that are breaking it now. Talk a little bit about that. But first, let's get into the bad, the scary, the no bueno. Hello, where's the drop?
Oh, son of a... That's going to leave a mark.
I pushed it. Technical difficulties.
Another week, another where's the drop. Yeah.
Difficulties. Dalton Kincaid, knee did not return to the game. I mean, tight end wasteland, right? Pick someone else up. That's the...
Yeah, could be. And, you know, he's been a fine tight end this year. Hasn't been super great. Could be, you know, a short absence. Obviously, Dawson Knox would be the replacement immediately there in Buffalo. That's a fine pickup. But again, it's tight end's tough. Kincaid wasn't giving you a ton. So not a huge loss unless you're in a super deep league and it's, you know, super shallow out there.
Miles Sanders, foot, ankle, carted off the field. Haven't heard an update.
Haven't heard one. They're on a bye this week, so I'm not sure how much information we'll get. But he was kind of, you know, trending down anyways. Chuba Hubbard has been a monster this year. He's just signed a big contract extension last week. And then the rookie, Jonathan Brooks, supposed to make his debut in week 12 also. So Miles Sanders is probably going to be the third running back anyways. So not a big loss, as I'm not sure how much he was owned in fantasy anyways.
Dak Prescott is likely to get season-ending surgery. Cowboys are not looking good. I don't know if this is an actual true, you know, online, a lot of fake news out there. I heard that he reached out to Deion Sanders to ask for about replacements for the Cowboys.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have one good Cowboys stat. So obviously Dak Prescott out, out for the rest of the season, obviously hurts a lot of their players. So this is a stat I found today. It said the Cowboys have trailed by double digits for a league high 42% of their offensive snaps. So they've had 244 plays on offense when they've been down by 10 or more. 244, that's a lot. On the flip side of that, the Chargers have had three. They're the least in the league, three and 244 for the Cowboys. So they've just been getting dominated.
That is crazy.
And it's only going to get worse, right, without a quarterback now. That was with Dak for the most part. So, yeah, crazy.
Yeah, they're not going to have a good season. If they do, something. I don't know who's saving the day, but it doesn't look like anyone.
Jones comes in to play quarterback.
Sam Laporta, shoulder sprain, possibly miss a week. Just keep an eye on that. Tank Bigsby, ankle, did not return to the game. Any info on him?
I haven't heard anything on him. They've been interesting, too. He kind of had the big workload while ETN was hurt this past week. ETN took a majority of the snaps. So, again, not a lot going on there. Trevor Lawrence obviously out, so they're playing their backup, Mac Jones. So probably not a guy you want to play. Anyways, they're going to Detroit this week, so you're not super excited about that. And I think they have a bye week after that. So you're probably looking at a couple of weeks where you're not playing these guys anyways, and maybe we'll get some more information in that time to see kind of – how the Jaguars finish, right? Maybe do the coaches get fired and they want to see what they have in Tank Bigsby? Do they shut down ETN for the rest of the year? Not really sure. So that backfield has been kind of up in the air all season. I don't see that changing anytime soon with the injury to Tank Bigsby.
And Aaron Jones, chest carted off the field. I don't think it's as serious as it looked, but something to monitor.
Right. And I think they came out today and said that they expect him to play this week. So, shouldn't be anything too serious.
All right. Let's go into fantasy top players. That's right. These guys were great. Get some yays there. Here it is, 2 weeks in a row. Joe Burrow, 42 fantasy points, 428 yards through the air, 4 touchdowns, 6 yards on the ground. Killer outing yet again. I know you want to talk about what happened in our league.
Yeah, is this the time to do that?
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, maybe this is, again, another reason why LSA wasn't here. He drafted Joe Burrow. He had Joe Burrow, and for whatever reason, he decided to drop him. He, you know, thought he wasn't producing. And since he dropped in the last 2 weeks, he had 38 points against the Raiders, 42 against Baltimore. And I happened to pick him up. I happened to play him against him this week. So he had Ja'Marr Chase, and I had Joe Burrow. That was the only thing that saved either of us, I think, because they went nuclear on Thursday night. So yeah, that certainly helped. And I love it that he just could have had the monster win and taken an easy win, being up like 90 points on Thursday night. But, you know, he decided to drop him. And yeah, just a classic LSA move, I think.
You know, the funny thing is, I have had CJ Stroud all season, and he has not done well. Picked up Aaron Rodgers, has not done well. He may have dropped him when I picked up Aaron Rodgers, but I would have traded for Burrow. I just want to say that. Didn't even offer a trade. Dropped him.
Flat out dropped him, yeah.
Make sure you guys are not just dropping good players and try to get some value for them before you do that. Yeah, that one's for LSAO. I don't know if he's going to listen to this, but we'll see. Lamar Jackson, 40 fantasy points, 290 yards, 4 touchdowns, another 33 on the ground. He's been consistently great.
Absolutely. This is just a, sorry, quick question. So both of those guys played each other on Thursday night, went crazy. What are your, like, when you're making lineup decisions, I find myself doing this sometimes. Do you, like, trying to decide between two guys, does it impact you, like, if they play Thursday night because you don't want to get off to a bad start, or if they play Monday night, you want to keep them so you have a chance later in the week? Like, do you think about those things when you're setting your lineup?
I do, and it all depends on the circumstances. For instance, this week I had Tyreek Hill, and he was playing on Monday, but he was questionable, like really a game time decision. Mm-hmm. And I could have tried to drop someone to have a spot open. But I said, look, most of his guys, Adam, who I was playing, are playing in the morning. So I'm going to wait it out. And yeah. I did horribly. And I was, but I was like, well, at this point, I'm just going to, I had 60 some points. I figured I was going to lose. I won for some miracle, but I shouldn't have. So yes, you do think of those things. You just have to play the circumstances.
Because yeah, sometimes I find myself not wanting to play guys that I'm not sure about on Thursday because I don't want to start with like a 2 points and I'm like, oh, and then I'm thinking about it Friday and Saturday. And on the opposite end, if I have a guy going Monday and I kind of want to just have him in on Monday, because then no matter what happens, like you're in it the whole time, right? So yeah. Sometimes it probably impacts it way more than it should. But yeah, just I was curious if it's just me that kind of operates that way.
All right, Kyler Murray. 29 fantasy points. We can see the drop off. Number one, number two, over 40. Number three, Kyler Murray, 29 fantasy points, 266 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 more touchdowns on the ground. He's been sneaky good, and he is not owned in our league.
Yeah, and he goes on bye this week. But yeah, he's one of those guys, again, he has all the upside in the world when he decides to run the ball. He obviously ran for 2 touchdowns. That puts him as a top 3 quarterback this week. The more he runs, the more successful he is. They've had an interesting schedule, a little challenging schedule the last several weeks. It lightens up a little bit as you move forward. But again, as their offense starts to get going, I think obviously Kyler is the key. And the more he runs, the more valuable he is. So someone I'm definitely keeping an eye on for the rest of the season.
Do you think a running quarterback is more valuable for harder matchups or less valuable?
Probably more valuable. Again, I think you're trying to play guys in games that are going to be high scoring and those kind of things, right? So they're staying in, they're doing those things. I think it helps. Again, I think it's certainly matchup dependent, but you always like the rushing upside because it's such a, you know, it's free points essentially, right? And for every 10 yards of rushing, you're getting a point as opposed to the 25 passing. So you're getting way more value for that if they're going to do it. It's just so hard to predict. But again, the better the matchup, it's hard to say, right? So they have a good pass rush, then I want to start a rushing quarterback, sure, because he can break containment. But again, it's kind of hard to know. And it's just some of those guys obviously have much more elite upside. Guys like Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels, those kind of guys. I would put Kyler in that category too once he starts to run. So certainly like having it, but don't want to just rely strictly on that.
Another one in that category that hasn't really done a lot of that this year is Jalen Hurts. He was the number four quarterback, 202 yards passing. That's it. Two touchdowns through the air, but 56 yards on the ground and two more touchdowns. That's where you can be deadly with those rushing quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's really turned it on rushing. Eight rushing touchdowns the last 4 weeks. So, I mean, I'd imagine the majority of those are from a yard out on the tush push. But, yeah, it works. It's successful. It's getting your points. But something we didn't see a ton of early in the season, he's really cranked that up lately.
And then Brock Purdy, sneaky good play, and a lot of people don't have him on the radar. 25 fantasy points, lost the stat here. 353, two touchdowns through the air. Let me go back here. So here's his games for the season. Fantasy points, 8, 10, 30, 15, 12, 29, 15, 25, 25. But he does have a harder schedule coming up.
I was gonna say he does have a harder schedule coming up, but again, I think just adding Christian McCaffrey back just makes such a difference for that offense. Certainly got to respect the run more. They're going to open it up more. They got more playmakers. I think McCaffrey had 60 or 70 yards receiving this week too. So I would imagine their offense gets much better again with the addition of Christian McCaffrey and just the versatility and all the things he can do. So Purdy's definitely a guy that I would like to have moving forward.
And then honorable mention, Derek Carr, 269 yards, two touchdowns. Justin Herbert, 164 and one, and another one on the ground. And let's ride, Pittsburgh, 195 and three touchdowns for Russell Wilson this week. Those are your quarterback performances. On to running back. I'm sorry, wide receiver. We're going to wide receiver. Of course, it's Ja'Marr Chase. 264 yards and three touchdowns. Ridiculous. Yeah.
He is unbelievable. I think he's the guy that I fear most when playing in fantasy. Like, he's done that. I think that was his third game of like 45 points or more, like, in his career. He's just a guy that is absolutely explosive. He's explosive after the catch. He's outstanding. He's obviously number one guy for Joe Burrow. He's incredible. Could you imagine having 48 points after Thursday night from him and losing? Like, wow, that's hard to do. But we know somebody who did that.
If you had the stack, you were probably good.
Yeah, and I mean, he's just absolutely owned Baltimore this year, right? He has 80 points against Baltimore in their two games, 29 targets, 21 catches for 458 yards and five touchdowns. Like, most guys won't do that all season. He's done just the two games against Baltimore. So it's unbelievable because T. Higgins didn't play. Like, you know he's the guy, and you still can't stop him. Like, he's unbelievable.
This next guy, 1% rostered. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, wide receiver from the Saints, got you 109 yards and two touchdowns. Is it a one-off? It was only three receptions.
Yeah, that's the hard part, is wasn't a lot of volume, but they're so banged up. Rashid Shaheed out, Chris Olave out. They've got to throw it to somebody. Carr likes to throw the deep ball. Valdez-Scantling is certainly a deep ball receiver. So I would like to think it's a one-off. I certainly wouldn't feel confident putting him in my lineup. But if you're desperate, I mean, he's one of those guys, right? He's kind of an all or nothing guy. Is he going to get you this big game because he catches a 50-yard touchdown, or are you going to get, you know, one catch for 8 yards and get nothing out of him? So high risk, high reward play if you're desperate, maybe.
At 1% owned, obviously he's not owned in our league. This guy is also not owned in our league, but he is 81% rostered. Calvin Ridley, 20 fantasy points, 84 yards and a touchdown. Is Tennessee firing it up? I don't think so.
No, but I think he's been good since Hopkins got traded. So he's kind of stepped into that number one role. He's certainly the best wide receiver they have there. Tennessee, you know, they've been losing a lot of games. So they've been trailing. They've been throwing. A good schedule coming up also for Ridley with Minnesota and Houston. the next 2 weeks. So yeah, he's been great the last 3 weeks. I think he's, you know, wide receiver 3 or 4 or something over the last 3 weeks. So certainly a guy I would worth monitoring at least, especially if you need to fill some gaps with some big bye weeks. Week 12 and week 14 are 16 bye weeks. So certainly a guy to maybe stash on your bench if you have a spot.
Tylan Wallace. Who you say? Tylan Wallace, Baltimore wide receiver, 0% owned, 115 yards and a touchdown. Probably not going to happen again. But no,
never heard of him before Thursday night.
So. Yeah. And then George Pickens, you know, Russ came on the scene and he's slinging the ball around. Pickens had 91 yards and a touchdown this week.
And he, did you see that touchdown?
Yeah.
I feel like he does that once a week. Like he makes some crazy acrobatic catch. Like he might be like the most athletic receiver in the league. And he's good for one of those a game. And Russ is trusting him. He's going to throw it up to him. And I mean, he can literally come down with anything. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome catches. Running back, Bijan Robinson, 26 fantasy points. 116 yards, 2 touchdowns, someone you would expect to be up there at the top.
Yeah, I think that's what you've been expecting from Bijan the last 5 weeks, 22, 21, 16, 13, 26. Like you're finally getting that consistency out of Bijan that you had hoped for when you drafted him in the first round in your fantasy draft. So, yeah, he's been outstanding. Certainly a guy who he got the beneficiary of. They ran the ball to the one. Tyler Algier ran it 3 times. Didn't get it. They had to call a timeout, and then they brought in Bijan. He punched it on 4th down. So got a little lucky there, but again, he should probably be the guy in that situation anyways. But yeah, Bijan's been great up to running back 4 for the season, which is kind of exactly where you drafted it.
Chuba Hubbard, number 2 running back of the week, 153 yards and a touchdown. He's been, you know, in double digits most all of his games as well, so...
Yeah, he's been awesome. Do you know, where do you think he is for the season, running back rankings?
I have no idea. I would say 14.
Yeah, he's number 7 overall.
Wow, nice.
Which is crazy because he's probably drafted in the double digits, right, in fantasy. So probably one of the big values of the entire draft. He has the same amount of points as Kyren Williams, right, who was a 1st or 2nd rounder. So yeah, just an incredible value there. He's been awesome. Even on a bad offense, right? He's still been running back 7, which shows you how good he is.
James Conner, next up, 33 yards and a touchdown, 80 yards receiving as well. Gets it done through the air. He's been pretty good for most of the season also.
Yeah, another guy that's been just rock solid, super consistent, checks in at running back 8. And it's, you know, I don't know if he's had any monster games, but he's been, you know, in those double digit, you know, 15 to 20 point range, it feels like every single week. So definitely just kind of lock it in starter. And he's been great.
Good old Austin Eckler taking up the 4th spot, 44 yards, 2 touchdowns. Eliseo picked him up, I think, right before the game, right?
He did. Yeah. Thankfully, he didn't play him. Yeah. Again, Brian Robinson was out with an injury. It sounds like he'll be back this week. That's a Thursday night game. But Eckler's, you know, he's certainly filled in nicely for him. He's been a viable starter with Robinson out. But once Robinson gets back, obviously much more of a split backfield there. And Robinson was the guy certainly before he got hurt. So I'd imagine he'd be the starter to get the majority of the work. But I'm sure Eckler's going to get something the way he's played the last few weeks.
And then Tyrone Tracy Jr., 18 carries, 103 yards, and a touchdown. Good this week.
Yeah, he's been a nice player for the Giants. Again, they don't have a lot to work with offensively, but he's been really good the last, I don't know, maybe 4 to 6 weeks. A couple dud weeks in there, but about 4 games with 13 points or more. So they're on bye this week, and then they finish up, and he should continue to be the starter. You could do worse at the running back position, and he's been a valuable guy the last several weeks when he's become the starter.
Let's move on to tight end, the wasteland. We have 3 people at the top. They all have 12 fantasy points. One of them has 66 yards and a touchdown. The number 2 guy, 64 yards and a touchdown. Number 3 guy, 68 yards and a touchdown. We're talking Sam Laporta, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, pretty much how you'd expect.
Yeah, it might be the first week we've seen like the top three guys that were drafted finish as the top three guys. So, yeah, that's huge. And then number four, right? George Kittle.
George Kittle, yep.
So those are, yeah, those are the guys. That's what you were expecting when you drafted those guys in your fantasy drafts this year. So certainly a good finish for those guys.
You were not expecting the number five guy at 0% rostered, 42 yards and a touchdown from the Cincinnati Bengals, Tanner Hudson.
Yeah, you might have expected that to be Mike Gesicki, but yeah, Tanner Hudson, a part of that great Joe Burrow performance on Thursday night. He got the one touchdown that Jamar Chase didn't. But yeah, not a guy you're probably putting on your roster anytime soon, as he's the number two tight end in Cincy.
Moving over to kicker of the week, Joshua Carty from the Los Angeles Rams going against the Miami Dolphins, had 19 fantasy points, kicked five field goals for you. No PATs. And then defense of the week it's a tie. Philadelphia and Buffalo, each with 20 fantasy points. That's going to help you win your week. What were the points? Interesting. So Philadelphia points versus 6, Buffalo points versus 20. So it just shows you that Philadelphia did it in other ways. Buffalo did it in other ways because they had a higher score from the other team, but they had a fourth down stop. They had a touchdown.
Yeah, Philly did it by dominating Cooper Rush and Trey Lance and intercepting them like 4 or 5 times.
All right, let's go over to the other side. Uh-oh, you don't want these guys. These guys are not great at all.
You blew it!
Sure did. Aaron Rodgers. Yes, I started him. He got me one fantasy point. Ayahuasca.
Yeah, what do we make of the Jets the rest of this season? Right, they feel like they've always like kind of been right there. Now they're 3-7. They're out of it. I think Rodgers went on, I don't know if it was Pat McAfee show or something today, and just talked about like playing for pride and this and that. And it's awful. It's hard to watch because it's all him, right? It's like their offense is very vanilla. There's not a lot of motion and moving guys around. And it's just, he throws the ball within like 2 seconds because he doesn't want to take a hit. And so there's nothing really down the field. Like, it's just, as a Jets watcher the last couple of years, it's been very painful with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and Devontae Adams this year. And it's tough. It's tough.
You know, it's kind of like if you have a fantasy team, right? A fantasy football team, and you have all these great names on paper, right? And you're like, this team is going to be so exciting, so explosive. I got Aaron Rodgers. I got Devontae Adams. I got Tyreek Hill. I got Debo Samuel. And then they don't do anything, right? That is my team. That is the Jets. Let's go get Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be amazing because it's Aaron Rodgers. No, not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. And that affects everyone around him, unfortunately. So even though Devontae, I think, is still great, Garrett Wilson is amazing. You're not going to see that. Speaking of Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams, 3 points for Devontae, 4 points for Garrett Wilson. Obviously, if your quarterback's bad, your wide receivers are going to be bad. Justin Jefferson, 4 fantasy points this week. Not what you signed up for.
Yeah, that was a tough one too. They played Jacksonville, which was a really good matchup for them. And Darnold threw 3 interceptions, I think, in the end zone, in the red zone for sure. A couple in the end zone. All were targeted for Justin Jefferson too. So again, not a guy you're sitting anytime soon. Just an unfortunate bad week with a really good matchup.
Mark Andrews, 2 fantasy points. The points went the other way, but Baltimore did have a lot of points. CeeDee Lamb, 2 points. There's another one with that new quarterback. It's just not going to be there, I don't think.
It's definitely rough. Concerning as a CeeDee Lamb owner. The one bright spot, I think he had like 10 targets, though. Again, only 2 catches, yeah, which is never great. Double checking. Yeah, 10 targets. He did catch 6 balls, but for 21 yards. So it's like they were throwing short. Again, I think it was a tough matchup against Philly last week, but you can't expect a whole lot out of Cooper Rush moving forward. But just it's a hard predicament. Do you not play him with the chance that he's going to get a ton of targets? I think they threw for like 45 yards, which is pathetic. Like, it can't be that bad again, right? Like, that's what I'm telling myself as I start CeeDee Lamb. But if I, you know, you see that again, it's going to be really hard to play him. But what are the chances you have better options, right? So,
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see what that looks like. But that was brutal.
As soon as you drop him, he's going to go off.
Yeah, and I would never drop him, but I would think about benching him. But he did have the one potential touchdown that he lost in the sunlight. Did you see?
Yeah.
Because Jerry Jones won't put curtains up. You know? So they blind their own players, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I was alluding to LSAO dropping Joe Burrow. But anyway. Yeah. Kirk Cousins, 8 fantasy points. Not bad, but bad for a quarterback. That's pretty
no
dismal.
Touchdowns, yep.
Devontae Smith, 1 point. DJ Moore, 2 fantasy points. Are you dropping him? He's only had 1 week in the double digits the entire season.
So, again, I don't think I'm dropping him. They've been abysmal. They scored 3 points this week at home against the Patriots. The offense has looked awful. Caleb Williams has looked terrible. They fired the offensive coordinator this week, so maybe something comes from new play calling and new something. They probably need to fire their head coach, to be quite honest. But yeah, if I have another option that's comparable, I'm playing the other guy until you see something. I'd rather get the 15 points on my bench than continue to get the 2 points every week waiting to get that 15. Right. So, if you have another option that's similar, I would certainly go with the other option until we see it.
Would you rather play Calvin Ridley?
Yeah.
Over him?
Yeah. I would. We've seen it the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Brian Thomas Jr., 1 fantasy point. And Jaden Daniels, 5 fantasy points. Rough week for Washington. Yes. All right. Let's get into matchups. Oh, man. It was a rough week for someone. It was a great week for somebody. So somebody had a reason to be here, but did not show up. All right. Going back before last week, I was 18-22, way behind LSAO's 21-19, and you're 22-18. Let's see how we did. We had Cincinnati at Baltimore was our first game. Baltimore by 6 was the spread. You and LSAO picked Cincinnati. I said Baltimore is going to cover that 6 points, and Baltimore won by 1 point. So you guys get the point. Then we had Denver at Kansas City. Kansas City by 8.5 points. That's a lot. And they never cover, right?
I know.
But Brandon, you said, this is not the right thing to do, but I'm going to do it. And you picked Kansas City.
I knew better.
Yeah. Me and LSAO picked Denver, and Kansas City won by 2 points. They almost lost. We get the point. They should have. That was ridiculous at the very end there. You have to know the script, right? You knew it was going to happen. Pittsburgh at Washington. Washington by 2.5 points. You and LSAO picked Pittsburgh. I picked Washington, said they're going to beat them by 3. Pittsburgh won 28-27. You and LSAO get the point. San Francisco at Tampa Bay. San Francisco by 6.5. You pick San Francisco. Me and LSAO picked Tampa Bay. And San Francisco won by only by 3, not by 7. So me and LSAO get the point.
And I don't know if you saw this, but Debo Samuel trying to choke their long snapper, right? Because their field goal kicker missed 3 field goals. So they should have covered, right? You got to make those field goals.
Yeah. Calm down, Debo. It'll be okay. And then Detroit at Houston. Detroit by 3 points. Me and LSAO picked Detroit. We believe in them. You said Houston has to get it done. This is the week to get it done. They did not get it done. I don't even have the score here, but I know that it was Detroit won by 3.
Yeah, Houston was up 23-6 at halftime.
Yep. Yep.
And then didn't score again. And Detroit won 26-23 with a walk-off field goal.
But since it's three, we all get the point.
I know.
Ties.
I should have had that one for sure.
All right. So that means I was 3-2 this week. You were 3-2 this week. And Eliseo, 5-0, a perfect week. And he's not even here to brag about it. So. we'll see how he does next week. We have his picks here. That means this is rough. I'm going to go first to last. Eliseo took the lead 26-19.
Oof.
You're right behind him, 25-20. And I'm five games back from the first place, 21-24. I have some work to do. I'm not picking against you guys just to pick against you guys anymore. That's it. I'm putting my foot down. So here we go. This week's matchups. We have Washington at Philadelphia. Washington is 7-3. Philly is 7-2. Philadelphia is favored by 3.5 points with an over and under of 49.5. I'm just going to say Eliseo's first the whole time, and we'll go from there. Eliseo picks Philly to cover the 3.5 point spread. Oh, what do I want to do here? All right. Not going against anybody, just to go against them. So I'm going to talk it out right now. Can Philly beat Washington by 4 points? Washington had a pretty bad week. Philly has a great team. Washington has a great offense. It could be very close. Is it going to be within 3.5 points? I think it is. I'm going to take Washington. Don't think they're going to win, but I think that they'll lose by 3 points.
Yeah, this is a good game. This is a Thursday night game. This should be a fun one. First place in the NFC East on the line. Yeah, Philly's been playing much better of late. But I think they're due for a letdown. So I'm going to agree with you and take Washington plus the 3.5.
Next up, we have Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Baltimore 7-3. Pittsburgh 7-2. There's a trend here. Baltimore is favored by 3.5 points, 47.5 over under. Eliseo, you know, last week he picked all underdogs except for one. This week, it looks like he's picking all the favored matchups. He picks Baltimore to cover the 3.5 points. You go first. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one too. Baltimore's obviously got the more explosive offense, but Pittsburgh's got a really good defense and they've been playing much better with Russ. And as we've seen every week, especially last week, you can throw on Baltimore. They give up a ton of passing yards. This one's tough. I think Pittsburgh's going to want to run the ball. They're going to want to kind of keep the score close and low, and these games are always close. They're always tough. These two teams hate each other. Again, I don't feel great about taking this one, but I'm going to take Pittsburgh plus the point just because I think it's a low scoring, close game, and I think it's a field goal either way. So I'll take Pittsburgh.
I agree. I think, you know, both of these teams have been up in the offense lately, and it's not going to be that way. I think it's going to hit the under, and I think it's going to be a defensive battle, but neither of the defenses are. They're both okay, but they can both give up some points. I think Baltimore will win, but Pittsburgh will keep it close. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. And moving on to Seattle at San Francisco. Seattle is 4-5. San Francisco is 5-4, but San Francisco is favored by 6.5 points with an over-under of 48.5. Eliseo going for the favorite again. San Francisco to cover the 6.5 points. Let's see here. Seattle, I like Seattle. I don't think either of these teams, their record reflects their play per se. I think they're both better than what their record says they are. But obviously Seattle's banged up with is DK still out? He's still out, right?
Well, they were on a bye last week, so not sure. Yeah. There's a chance he's back this week, I think.
And then San Fran obviously banged up as well. It's just too big of a point gap for me. I think I have to go with Seattle. Like you say, give me the points.
Yeah, this is tough. I think this, if the playoffs started this week, San Francisco would be out of it. They're the eighth seed right now. So I think this is where you start to see McCaffrey's back. They start to turn it on. I think they're going to be a much better team in the second half of the season. I think it has to start here. They've got to win this game. So I think they start to click offensively. You see them really get going. So I'm going to take San Francisco to cover.
All right. And then Kansas City at Buffalo. Kansas City, of course, 9-0. Buffalo 8-2. But Buffalo is favored by 2.5 points. Vegas knows something we don't. They always do. Over and under is 45.5. Eliseo picks the favorite team, Buffalo, by 2.5 points. You're up.
I'm up. Yeah. Gosh, this one's tough. This is so difficult. So obviously, yeah, Kansas City undefeated. They probably could have lost a couple games at this point. They always win close games. This is tough. I'm gonna say, trying to look up some stats. Mahomes as an underdog, I think he's 12-1 against the spread as an underdog because he's not been an underdog very often in his career. So I'm gonna just go with the math there, and I don't like doing it, but give me Kansas City plus the points there.
Yeah, it's Buffalo has a good defense is the only thing, but Kansas City has DeAndre Hopkins now, which he's, even if he doesn't have a great stat line, he pulls some of the secondary away from Travis Kelce or some of the other players. It kind of opens up their offense a little bit there. I think that they're going to start to get better also. But this could go either way. I think I'm going to go with you and pick Kansas City. I think they might win this outright, but it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, I think it's a big game too for them trying to like almost lock up home field, right? If they yeah. lose, they're only a game up on Buffalo. If they win, they're three games up on everybody. So I think, yeah, it's a big statement game, I think, for them. And they don't want to give Buffalo the idea that they can beat them, right? They want to keep putting that foot on the gas, so.
Although I do think the Chiefs need to lose at one point this season.
I agree. You don't want to be undefeated. Yeah. No, it's a lot of pressure.
Last game, Cincinnati at Los Angeles Chargers. Los Angeles, not San Diego. Cincinnati's 4-6. Los Angeles, 6-3. The Chargers are favored by 1.5 points. 45.5 over under. Eliseo did not pick the favored team, which is the Chargers. He picked Cincinnati, of course, because he saw his player get that many points on his team. Okay. So, oh boy, Cincy's rolling. They've been doing very well. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, locking it up over there. But the Chargers have also been doing really well, and they have a well-rounded team. I think they are going to give Cincy a run for their money, and I'm going to go the opposite. I picked underdogs this entire time. I'm going to pick the favored team, Los Angeles Chargers, to win by two.
1.5, right? We're taking 1.5?
One and a half, yeah. But yeah, two, I win.
That extra half a point, yeah. this is a good game. This is the Sunday night game next week. It's a must win for Cincinnati at this point. They've been playing well, but they just haven't been getting the wins. That loss to Baltimore was just painful. They can't afford to drop to 4-7. They've got to win this game. I was looking at the Chargers' schedule because I'm like, man, that's a nice record. Who have they beaten? So I went through their schedule. Listen to these games. So the Chargers beat the Raiders, beat the Panthers. They beat the Broncos. That's probably their best win. They beat the Saints, the Browns, and the Titans. So they haven't beaten a team that's really good yet. And then the games that they've lost to the Steelers, they lost to the Chiefs, they lost to the Cardinals. They've lost to teams that have, you know, pretty good offenses that are a little bit better. So I'm going to take Cincy just with the idea that they can outscore them. Chargers not a big scoring team. They haven't given up more than 20 points to any team this season. I think that changes this week. So give me the Bengals in a must-win game. But I think it's going to be a fun one on Sunday night.
All right, there you have it. Check back and see if I drop even further behind or if I gain some ground on these fools over here. We're going to go right into it, I think, right? We're good?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. You get your balls to the wall, balls to the wall. All right, balls to the wall, everyone's favorite segment. These are the players that are going to go off, go crazy, and get you some epic fantasy points for your team. Last week, I had Gabe Davis or the other guy. I forgot his name.
Parker Washington.
Parker Washington. Gabe Davis did play. I said he was going to give you 87 yards and a touchdown. He got you one, not touchdown, catch for 19 yards. he got you 19 yards, one fantasy point. Not quite the balls to the wall we expected. Eliseo picked Juwan Jennings to go 136 yards and two touchdowns. He got seven catches for 93 yards. So some pretty good yardage there. No touchdowns. And then Brandon put it all out on the table. He said, Daniel Jones, he's going to Germany. He's going to give you 300 yards and three touchdowns. Well, he did 190 passing yards, 26 rushing yards, and one rushing touchdown. He didn't throw any touchdowns, though.
No, and I woke up at 6:30 a.m. to watch that game. I even had to start Daniel Jones in a league. And, oh, boy, was I wrong. Oh, that was the first pass of the game. Malik Nabers runs a great route, and he sails it over his head by like 20 yards. I was like, oh, nope, it's not going to be a good one today. So I already knew it from at about 6:37 a.m.
It's funny. You woke up early, and you told everyone not to wake up for that game.
I know, but I can't help myself. And now I regret it.
Did you see them singing, what song was it?
Oh, Sweet Caroline, maybe?
It was something else. Something, but it was like the music stopped and the play was going on and they just kept singing. Yeah. It was so great. Like they have these giant steins in the stands.
Oh yeah. No, it looked like a good time. And then did you see, the Hockley announced a penalty in German? I mean, I love it. Yeah. I love it.
You know, his dad did that years ago.
Yeah. So, I did see that too. Very cool.
Football's fun, guys. Football's fun. Okay, so we're going to go to the balls to the wall for this week. We'll go for Eliseo's first. Eliseo's telling you that Cam Akers is going to be the guy this week. He's going to do 106 yards and one touchdown. Not even the starter, right?
But he must think Aaron Jones won't play.
But there you go. There you have it. My guy this week, and we were just talking about this game, this guy is 41% owned. He's going against the Cincinnati Bengals. We talked about they don't put up a lot of points, or they don't. The other team hasn't won by 20. Is that what you're saying?
The Chargers haven't given up more than 20 points all season.
Well, if this guy does what I think he's going to do, then they should help him win this game. So Quentin Johnston is going to get you 93 yards and two touchdowns this week. And stay tuned, because once he does that, I'm going to tell you what he's going to do next.
Okay. Wow. That's a nice, I can't wait for that. I'm actually going to take a guy from that same game, actually.
All right.
So this guy was the leading target getter last week for the Chargers. We talked about the Chargers not having to score a lot of points, and we talked about their wins. And again, they just haven't played teams that are going to score a lot of points, right? We think Cincy's going to score a lot of points. Next week they play Baltimore, then they play Atlanta, they play Kansas City, they play Tampa after that. So they're going to play teams where they're going to start throwing the ball more. So I like Justin Herbert in this game. I like Quentin Johnston in this game, but I'm going to go with 2% rostered tight end Will Disley this week. That's going to be my balls to the wall. And I say he's going to catch six balls for 85 yards and one touchdown. Tight end Will Disley.
85 yards and one touchdown?
Yes.
All right. Disley all the way. There you have it. Maybe I'll pick up Justin Herbert. I don't know. My other two quarterbacks
are a good schedule coming up. Yeah.
that's all we got for you. TheFantasyFootballFools.com. Check us out. Fantasy Fools Pod on X. Drop us some notes, some tweets. I guess you still say tweets. I don't know. And let us know what you want us to talk about. And until then, don't be a fool.
Stay in school.